You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time today. Whatever it means for you in your club, we'll talk about that later.
Welcome to episode 93 of the We'll Talk About That Later podcast. How's it going, guys?
Yeah, not too bad. I'm starving, in case anyone wanted to know that.
Yeah, I think
just
we
put
all
it
heard.
Out there. Yeah,
I think we would. I think you summed it up with the tone of your voice. That's how you just spoke is how I feel.
A whole mood.
Yeah,
indeed.
So it's not going to get any joyful from here. So if you're listening, buckle up. Abdi?
Pain.
I thought you were going to do a Ross. Hi. All right. Now that you're listening, subscribe to us on Spotify, follow us on Instagram, Twitter. Well, those are the only social medias, but we're also on Apple Podcast. We're also on Google, Deezer, wherever. And we're here to talk about football.
God, we all look so down in the dumps right now.
We're here to talk about football. It's not like any football happened this weekend.
Abdi's in all black like it's a funeral.
No, Abdi's always, in,
always
all
in all black. Abdi's always, no, but yeah, Abdi's looking particularly hurt today, as we all are, but I've never seen you look actually genuinely as hurt
dejected.
As you do now. Dejected is the right word. No. I'm feeling it, but you're looking it.
Oh, thanks.
Now, Abdi's more dejected
He's
about his
He's been through
knee.
The ringer, mate.
I told you like, earlier, but I haven't told Tanya, some cyclist cut across me as I was walking and he fell in front of me and I fell as well.
You know what's funny, yeah? I didn't laugh. Mark didn't laugh. Tanya was the only one who laughed at us.
You tell people you're in pain.
No, no, no. It's a bit where you said, I fell as well.
Yeah, do you know like dominoes when they're lined up like that? That was Abdi. The cyclist fell and
this
he
one
fell.
Was completely not my fault. Anyway, yeah. This weekend, like, I just feel a fool for the whole situation. Like, I was so after the Denmark game, I was so gassed. Like,
you
I was
were.
So, yeah. I was chatting so much, and I genuinely believed it was coming home as well. And then, so I, mate. So basically, where did you guys watch the game?
I watched it in a nice bar in Allgate, actually. It was a good,
ooh.
Good, are we talking Denmark or Italy?
No, Italy.
Italy, yeah. I watched it in a nice bar in Allgate with some close people of mine. Atmosphere was great, and obviously first half was really good. And we'll get into the game, obviously, after we've kind of come out of this sad, sad tone. But second half is just where it started to go a bit downhill. And I think you kind of notice in the second half who has the experienced manager and who didn't, because Italy went on to dominate. They changed a few things at half time. And I think England had, what, less than 30% of the ball in the second half?
I think it was 33%, wasn't it?
33%.
Wow, that is terrible. Terrible.
But we'll get on to that. Abdi, where did you watch the game?
Oh, mate. So originally, my good friend here, Junior, gassed me in telling me there's a possibility he could hook me up with Wembley tickets.
No, I didn't say that.
What?
I said I applied through work
for
Wembley
work.
Tickets.
I but they were only giving us one.
Yeah. He goes, how many? I said, I don't know. And so he was like, if there's two.
At no point did I get any of this information. In my mind, yeah. And partly it's my fault as well, yeah. But In my mind, I thought we were there. We're going to be in like the royal box or something.
I said the royal box.
So, all right, that fell through.
I was so sure that I wasn't going to get it. I applied for the Trafalgar Square.
Yeah, I applied for that as well. But I applied for that before the semi-final. So I thought I'd definitely get it. Failed. Then my friend came through and he said, oh, there's a nice big screen in Greenford. And Greenford is where Saka grew up. So I was like, yes, I'll be there.
Jeez.
And there's a big screen. But he said, the way he made it seem like, you know, it was going to be like all these tables and he booked something. Nah. It's like, you know, the steps in Rocky, yeah? So people are sitting there and then there's a big screen there.
In the rain.
In the rain. But then at that point, it wasn't raining at that point. And he made it seem like he got tickets. No, he goes, oh, no, we'll get you on the waiting list. Then the waiting list, we couldn't get in. So we were all just standing on barriers, like, from behind, like,
so no way, you
gates.
Had to wait.
No, just standing, like, we're watching it from over there. You can watch it from over there because you can see the screen. But you're not part of you're not part of the people going to let you in.
There were
all of these event organisers who are letting people in. They go, oh, no more now. You can watch from here, but no, you can't
that's
go.
Mad.
Like, well, you're where the scum is.
And that's then we're that's like a guy in Wimbledon and watching it on Henman Hill.
Yeah, Henman Hill. Please stay.
So we're all there. I swear to God, for the first half an hour, what the hell is going on?
It's a car alarm?
For the first half an hour, there was a security guard standing right in front of me, like where you are from me, Mark. Yeah? And I'm like this. Excuse me, mate. Here, mate. I'll make you move a bit. Mate, excuse me. Mate. Sorry, can you... And he's just looking at me, not moving. So I missed the majority. I could only see half of the screen for the first half an hour. And
that
then the atmosphere
pain.
Wasn't like, it wasn't a good atmosphere. Like, I don't care, yeah, but I wanted to be around the geezers, yeah.
So I did as
all
well.
All week I was enjoying that song, was it? You can stick the toilet pasta up your ass and all of that, yeah.
Yeah, come on.
Because I wanted to be around the geezers, yeah. But no, I was around all a bunch of these kids. There was a kid next to me who goes, oh no, it's the first time England have lost on XG. Mm-hmm. I was just like, football fans have changed, you know? And then there was this other kid behind me going, bring Saka on! Gareth, bring...
Was like, that was Gareth. Definitely you. Gareth. That was definitely you.
Isn't it? Trust me. You know what you're talking about.
No, yeah. I agree with you, but he can't hear you, bro. And he was just shouting it time and time again. Oh, mate. And then it started pissing down. And then, like, when Italy scored, there was one Italy fan who was there, yeah, and this guy, he started jumping up and down, going mad. And then people from behind me were throwing bottles at him.
Oh my God, are you serious?
And the thing is, they're throwing it so far. Like, this guy was on, he was past the steps, like, he was on the floor, like, and people were throwing it so far. This guy who's the event organizer comes running up, he goes, out, go security, get them out. Some Karen run up the steps, she goes, you know what? I've got my granddad down here. If he gets hurt, someone will get out. Karen, go sit down, man.
Karen.
And then it was just more and more miserable as the game. Let's talk about the game.
Yeah, no, but well, you've raised spirits a little bit with that story.
You
there.
Have.
I can't lie, you sent it into the. You sent your view, I think, into the chat. I think it was at halftime.
Yeah.
And it was funny then because we were 1-0 up. So
yeah.
I'm out here mocking Abdi, like,
I was like,
literally
am I
laughing
be part of the
podcast
at you. I didn't watch the game.
and then yeah, from the moment we conceded, I wasn't laughing at you anymore.
No. But when Shaw scored, bedlam.
Oh, I went mental.
Tanya, do you know what I love? Sorry to interrupt. These two talking about where they watch the game.
I know
they don't care about us, do they?
You watched at home though, didn't you?
I did. I watched it with Sims and Ardian. We had a little shisha pipe as well. Big up the shisha fans out there. And yeah, we watched it inside.
I didn't ask because you two watched it indoors.
Drown your.
Yeah, but
you
it's still a good time.
You did.
From your view, which you sent in the group. You didn't watch it?
No.
Well, you watched it some security.
Why did I miss this? I ain't seen this still. Can't lie.
Well, Tanya, let's be honest. You've been MIA since Wednesday.
I mean, guys, listen.
Let's talk about this girl's antics at the Denmark game.
Let's not.
No, let's give the people something to smile about, Tanya. And then we'll move on into the depressing stuff.
We're going to ask her friend Lam if she saved the videos because we need to post
now,
those.
Listen.
Funny. The video of her standing on top of the table going, you're a flipping fraud! At 1-0 and English score like 5 minutes later, she's like, it's coming.
No,
This is Denmark, by the way. This is the semi-final, people.
Yeah, that was a wild night. I had a good time. I had one too many pints.
What did you lose?
What did I lose? I lost my AirPods, unfortunately.
No, I'm joking.
Add that too.
I say up for you guys and you guys...
I can't lie to you.
I come in there half-hearted.
Yeah. Okay. I lost a lot of things. Yeah, I lost my AirPods. But no, it was a good...
Did you lose something else? There was a list.
You lost your mind.
Yeah, I mean, I
you
lost
came
my
into
mind.
The group and you was like, guys, I lost this, I lost that, I lost my AirPods. I can't.
Oh, yeah, no, I thought I lost my Tanya necklace, but I found it on my bed.
Okay.
I found it on my bed, so that's all good.
Well, thank God.
But it
that.
Was good to soak up the atmosphere. Like, when I'm telling you, when that penalty went oh my God, I've never seen anything
well,
like
actually,
it.
Actually, the pen was missed.
And do you know what's even funnier? I ended up like in a bit of dirt, like someone pushed me over.
Oh, you fell?
Yeah, I didn't get dirty or anything, but you know, people just go mad, didn't they? When England score, so I just kind of fell over.
I mean, standing on table.
I mean, yeah, I was standing.
That's
on
true,
that's
and it
didn't
look like a very stable table. Yeah,
no, it was a.
It was like one of them beer garden tables.
Yeah.
And if you've been following social media over the last month, you would see that those beer garden tables have been breaking left, right, and center.
Yeah. Oh my God!
Oh my, I feel bad for like the box park.
Yeah. Oh my God!
was it you who was telling me that some places were charging £75 to get in?
Oh my God, are you serious? Yeah.
It wasn't me, but that's liberties. That's people taking advantage of national joy. Not
yeah,
even
your
desperation / national joy. But one thing I will say before we get on to
the game,
the sad reality is that aside from the final loss, what this tournament did give us is good vibes, good memories.
Yeah, 100%.
For a whole month, and you can't take that away from the nation. That's how I feel anyway. I've come here in my England top today because it's taken me a little day or
black
two.
England top that no one could tell was an England top.
True, but it's England top nevertheless.
I like it though.
It's really like it. That's the one I want as well. Hey,
thank you,
Mark.
Thank you. But it took me a little. It's Tuesday now. Obviously, we lost the final on Sunday evening. Sunday evening was one of the saddest I've felt in my footballing life, which is my whole life. Monday wasn't better. Then I woke up this morning and I thought, you know what? It was a hard ending, but I'm actually, more than I am disappointed, I'm proud. So we've got to take this now and really push at a World Cup in 2022.
Before we get to the game.
When Kane scored against Denmark, Junior stood up, we were talking here. Junior stood up and screamed so loud that he made himself lightheaded.
No, actually what happened was, I was sitting down.
I gave him a hug, and I couldn't feel anything.
No, wait.
Junior!
No, what actually happened?
Why
was,
didn't you film this?
I was sat down, and you see the leg thing there? I jumped over it. From sitting position, I jumped over it, and I was like...
I'm surprised you didn't end up head first through the
wall. Do you think you're a frog?
Well, I don't know. If I was in the Olympics, I would have definitely won the hurdle, because... But anyway, I jumped up so... And then as... The celebrations were going on. I just could see stars.
It's funny. I was screaming my head off, and I couldn't hear anything from him. And then Junior's mum, who's not watching, she comes in and starts screaming in the house. She's not watching. She can only hear us screaming. What if we got called off of VAR?
Because mum, she loves.
She gets too nervous.
She loves football, but she gets too nervous.
Yeah,
so
my cousin's like that as
when
well.
When Brazil
like
won
that.
The World Cup in 2002, the final, she spent the entire final on the first step of the stairs, which are outside of the living room.
Oh,
so she didn't watch
her.
The game. So whenever the peoples would scream, she would come in and go, yeah. And then as soon as the ref is about to blow to restart the game, she goes back on the stairs. She's like, Lord, please, I know you don't like football. It's not, you have nothing to do with football. Please let Brazil win. She does that for England as well. So she doesn't watch the game. She comes here to scream. She goes back.
Oh, bless her. She can't handle it.
No,
that's fair enough. That's fair enough.
And for anyone who was trying to find an England shirt, which were sold out everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere. And Abdi was trying to get me to
buy
a fake
station.
Can you let him finish the story?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry,
guys. I managed to get two.
Did you?
Didn't I tell you
see?
That it was available and you said it wasn't?
No, the link you sent me is for fake shirts.
Abby was linking £15.
You're giving him fake shirts.
You know when you used to
I'm
go to
so
markets? Yeah,
even have a star on the top of the badge and that. It's just that.
You know you used to go to markets and that instead of three lions, it'd be like saying England.
Where'd you get it then? Where did you end up getting it, Nike?
Brazil!
That's swear!
What are you talking about?
It's not fake.
Brazil? What?
My mate.
Man got a Brazilian version of the England top.
Yeah, it says Gremio. Now, so basically, in Brazil, my friend, I asked him because I had exhausted all options, and he went to one of their official sports stores in Brazil,
mm-hmm.
And there it was.
You're so lucky.
Why did I have Neymar 10 on the back?
And also, half the price.
Oh,
half
get out of it! Wait, can you get
one
Mark's got?
So I got two.
Because you got the one
I got
that
the home and the away.
Yeah, okay.
Oh,
that's
got a,
not available
one.
In Brazil.
It's not available.
Yeah. That's the one that
I
want that
come
one.
In a couple months. That will be unavailable to have a new one.
No, but Though, for me, I don't care about what you think, Abdi, because you've already explicitly told us that you don't care about football shirts or...
And you're giving away fake ones, so... Oh,
that in the Milan one is lovely.
It's beautiful. But it's nice. For me, this England shirt is iconic. Mm-hmm. It looks... I've wanted to get it since it came out. Mm. Unfortunately, I couldn't get it.
I want the home one, but I've got the away one, so...
So I found a loophole. I got it from Brazil.
Mm. Big up you.
This is the England top of... that a squad full of heroes and role models wore for a whole a European championship. Something that you look at that in 15, 20 years time, pull it out of the drawer and think, you know what? I'm still proud of that team.
And it does mean something.
People are proud of 1990 and 1996.
Yeah. And also it's like when you look at Arsenal shirts from the past, like 2004, I've got that shirt and it just...
I think the only difference is that's a winning shirt, whereas this one isn't.
No, I know, but this is still good vibes, though. Well, eventually, when you get over the sadness.
Yeah, I think the thing is, I'm just so gutted because, like, we could have won it at home.
We actually would have come home.
Literally.
We were leading on pens.
Oh, don't pick for sake.
Let's talk about it.
Let's start from the beginning.
So he changed it up, obviously.
Yeah. So what did you guys think about the change? Obviously, it worked for the Germany game, but you went five at the back.
Can I just say my two pence quickly and then people jump in? I understood it for the Germany game because he wanted to match up, you know, with Germany's wing backs and limit their kind of forward forays, so to speak. But for the Italy game, I said it before the game, I completely disagreed with that. I understand he maybe wanted to be a bit more cautious and there's no denying the Italy team is really good. But for me, he should have went with the exact same team that beat Denmark. Yeah. I think it's 30 plus games now that he's changed at least one player. So he hasn't kept that same starting lineup in terms of consistency for a long, long time. And I would have gone with Saka on the right, you know, the usual back four. Just the same team that beat Denmark. And then if that wasn't working, switch it up at half-time and react whilst the game's happening. I just, and I know our first goal was a link-up between the two wing-backs.
Yeah.
So you could say in the first half it did work. But for me, I think he should have stuck to his guns and I really think he should have gone for it at the back and just kept that same team as he went with against Denmark. I don't know what you guys think about
it. But Mark, on that point of like the link-up between the full-backs and then how it worked, I think England started so well that if we had played four at the back, I think we could have ended up the first half with two or three.
Yeah, I think so
because
too.
Because it would have been a more attacking team. In my opinion, and yeah, I think I was really gassed when Shaw scored. I was like,
"Oh my god!" Happening.
And I just at that moment I thought this could be 2-3 because the way we were just like Italy couldn't live with us, and then.
But I did also think it's so early.
Yeah, that was another
so
That's
so
scary
early,
thing.
And I thought to myself they could easily get back into this. We kind of have to keep it a bit professional still. Don't get too carried away. Don't get complacent. And then
on that point, the one thing that started to scare me in the first half is that we couldn't keep the ball.
Yeah, we couldn't. Could not keep the ball, absolutely.
Couldn't keep the ball, and that's why, well, either he should have, I don't know if I said it on this last week or I said it in another conversation with other people. If he was going to change it up, I wouldn't have changed it to five at the back, but if he really wanted to change it up and he veer away from that 4-2-3-1, just pack out that midfield because Italy's midfield have been dominating teams this tournament. So if he wanted to switch it up, I would have got an extra man in midfield. Henderson, Bellingham.
Yeah, that would have worked.
But, I mean, it's easy to look back on things and say stuff like this. I'm sure he's having those same thoughts.
I agree with that point because you said he matched up against Germany. If he's going to change it up, he should have matched up against Italy because Italy played 4-3-3. What I felt was the issue was we obviously... Great start, but if we had gone for it, we could have made it 2 or 3.
100%.
It was so early, and it's so early that we were sitting back.
We invited the pressure.
But then, like at the same time, Jose-esque. I was looking at it and I was just like, Italy, they don't really. I never thought they were going to. But then when I looked at it, I was like, I never really thought they were going to score because we were sitting so deep, and we had like every time they were putting the ball in the box. I never really thought like Italy were gonna score because Immobile, like he was just completely swamped out.
He didn't have a great semi either. I just think someone said it earlier that the goal was too early, and I said this to someone else as well. I never agree with that statement because A goal is a goal. Yeah, no matter what was wrong then after we scored that goal in the second minute was Abdi, you just hit the nail on the head. Our approach to the game after that, it shouldn't have been, right, we're 1-0 up now. Let's sit back for the next 43 minutes and get into half time at 1-0. Shouldn't have been that. It should have been, we're 1-0 up. If we push for a second now, fair play, sit back, because then you can hit Italy on the counter at all points during the game. They really need a goal.
I don't see them getting back.
Exactly.
Honestly,
and that's where I feel we've gone 1-0 up, and I understand it's a big European Championship final. And you maybe want to play it a bit more cautiously. And this applies to the players on the pitch as well. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to see us push a bit more for that second. I understand there are, like I said, limitations and just these. I'm just so disappointed. I can't even get my words out.
Mm. No, but I agree.
I feel it.
I agree with what.
Yeah,
I was going to go into a sentence there, and I just no.
I agree with what everyone is saying, and I think like. To be fair to Gareth, that's kind of been his MO throughout the tournament. Mm-hmm. Croatia, we scored one goal, sat back, soaked up the pressure, although Croatia weren't very good. And that's kind of been the way the team has played. But to get a goal so early, and you know the Italians were gassed from when they sang the national anthem.
So much
you
energy.
Just knew that they, at some point, they were going to get ahead of steam and they were going to start creating chances. I think another thing that really frustrated me was that the substitutions were too late. Like, he made the Saka one, but in my opinion, he should have taken off Mount as well because he was quite
Mount
ineffective.
Yeah, Mount was poor. I don't care. Mount was so poor.
I think you're being generous.
Well, I was going to say in the first half, he was poor throughout the whole game.
You lot know that I kind of...
That's your boy, innit?
No, he's not my... he's not my boy,
they grew
but
up together.
I thought he was a good player before he really, really burst onto the scene. But I've got to be really honest. I've got to be super honest. I thought he was easily the worst England player on the pitch.
Yeah, definitely.
Potentially the worst player on the pitch. And you're so right. It shouldn't have taken 95, 96 minutes to take him off. Mm. I think if you're having a bad game in a game of this magnitude, there's no time for...
But that's what's so frustrating. Like, we all knew the changes that needed to happen. Like, for me as well, I didn't get the Hendo substitution, light substitution. I think Hendo's great, but he's not going to impact the game as like a Grealish, let's say.
He brought on Hendo before Grealish.
Didn't he? Grealish.
That was a straight swap for Rice. I get that because Gareth Southgate's the type of manager who would never take off a defensive midfielder and bring on an attacking
midfielder.
And plus,
at the same time, we were like, Italy were on top and Rice and Calvin
Rice was
were
a bit
booked.
Gassed out, wasn't he?
But to be honest,
that
I think...
That kind of game is Rice's game.
But I was going to say, Rice was the best player. Like, that was his best tournament.
Yeah.
Tournament game. Definitely, I agree with that.
Because he didn't have to have the ball that much.
Yeah.
So if he's just going there, he was winning the ball really well, breaking
and,
through.
And he was crowded out because he was basically at times 1-on-3 and he was...
Yeah, him and Phillips were having to work so hard.
The best of the best in variety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I thought like Tanya said, the subs were all ineffectual.
Yeah.
Like Grealish definitely should have come on way sooner in normal time as well.
Yeah,
way sooner.
I think he should have come on with Saka.
In my opinion, perfect.
But all three of them when they came on made no effect. Saka had a very poor. Like the one time
the
Saka did anything good was when Chiellini nearly choked him out.
Oh my God, WWE smacked.
The overreaction to that foul is ridiculous.
Anyone calling for... I wanted to get this out. Thank you for reminding me. Anyone calling for that to be a red? Look, I know we're all hurt and butt hurt, so to speak, but it's not a red card.
No.
And we're just going to accept
him
that. Abdi's onto him, don't worry. But it's not a red card. It's a yellow, and he knew exactly what he was doing, but that's what...
I was worried though.
Old.
I thought he was hurt, you know, because the way he dragged him back and the way he
that was literally would have been
circle.
The last attack
the one,
of the game.
The one
would have scored 100%.
The one that should have been sent off was Jorginho.
Jorginho, yeah, he should have been sent
in
off.
In
oh
prem,
yeah, that
in VAR
yeah.
he gets sent off.
On it's so yeah, true. Yeah. yeah, that challenge was a
it's
nasty
dangerous.
Challenge.
He rides over the ball and he stamps.
Did he? Did he get a booking for that?
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah,
but begrudgingly, the ref was like, "Oh, I don't know."
But that was a bad tackle. That was like over the top on his and
that's
almost,
a red card.
Very dangerous tackle.
Did you see that woman who had the Mrs. Grealish 69?
Listen, shout out
on
to
a
her.
United shirt.
Wait, hang on.
You filthy.
A United shirt.
Hang on.
No, 69.
Yeah, no, it was on a United shirt. Oh,
wow. Shout out to her, but he's mine, so.
So why weren't you there with us then?
Don't worry, I was texting him. He came on because of me, guys.
Wait, how? This is what I want to get.
He got back to me.
You keep tweeting that he texts you, but he's... They don't have phones on the bench.
Yes, they do. What are you talking about?
Got a little Apple Watch.
Don't lie. Yeah, come on.
I do think certain players, though, like, I think, especially over the last couple games, certain players have just enhanced their reputation, especially to me. So, firstly, Luke Shaw has been unbelievable.
Absolutely brilliant.
He was excellent again. Not only just a goal, but another great performance. Mm. He was probably our biggest attacking weapon.
Can I say one thing and then go straight on? I think the whole back five, for me personally, the Pickford, Walker, Stones, Maguire, Shaw, all of their reputations for me have been enhanced because I was massively against, for example, Kyle Walker even starting games
Maguire,
for England this Euros.
He's proved me massively.
I mean, this whole podcast throughout the whole
this
time
whole
we're doing
exactly
has been an.
But carry on. I didn't want to interrupt you there.
Sorry, another one, like, Maguire.
But just before you continue, sorry. Much like Mark, I think today we need to have a little Pickford segment.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was incredible.
But also, Maguire definitely. I thought he was a rock the other night. Calvin Phillips. Yeah. I think
he's
incredible.
This is a guy who, like, he plays for, you know, a team that just got promoted, well, like a year ago or so. Mm-hmm. And he's a mainstay in the England team.
And
no one really thought he was going to start.
We all doubted it.
I mean, speak for yourselves, that's my guy, innit? I did say he was going to get in the team, but you lot weren't on it. But I didn't think he was going to start. I thought he was just going to be another.
That's what we're talking about.
No, but I mean, I said he'll go. You lot weren't really on him going.
Provide the evidence, big man.
Bro.
I'm the only who speaks allegedly.
All right, I'll let go of that. But everyone thought he was going to be Rice and Hendo, innit?
Yeah.
And he's just come and stepped up. I thought he was really good against Italy in terms of.
He worked so hard.
I don't think he had a bad game. And this is a guy who. What? How many. Did we go to extra time twice in the tournament, right?
Yeah, it
did. And in both games, he completed the 120, and even in the 120th minute, it looked like he could play on for another 2 hours.
Yeah, his fitness level's insane.
And this is the same guy who, before Bielsa came in at Leeds, was a cam almost, was never really a deep-lying centre mid. Bielsa's changed his whole game, obviously Calvin Phillips too. And it's nice to see, and I think he'll be a fixture in this England team for a long time. Yeah. And well, if his performances are anything to go by, then he should be.
And your boy, Mr. Jordan Pickford. I know you love him.
Why have you got to bring... Listen, don't bring no club into this, man. Let's just have a little...
Let's talk about Jordan Pickford.
Deserves all the ratings.
We were talking about Pope got injured. And we were talking about how he was potentially, along with England's defence, the weakness of this England team. And game after game, he just... I feel like, me personally, I think he grew... Bigger and bigger in the tournament.
I think he's goalkeeper of the tournament, personally, over Donald. I know, obviously, they have to give it to him.
Player of
because
which is absolutely ridiculous.
Which is mad. Yeah, we'll get into that. But I think Pickford has been absolutely outstanding. The saves this guy has made, especially that last save in the penalties, which we'll get into.
The Jorginho save is...
That save, oh my God.
Just unbelievable. Like, everything about it. Because it's Jorginho taking a pen. Yeah. And we all saw the penalty he took against Spain. Yeah. In my head, I was like, that is definitely going in. And I was so ready. I was turning away. I was ready to go.
Do you see Pickford's celebration after he saved that?
But
that,
before the, that as well, he was like, no problem.
Yeah,
no problem.
We thought we had it.
Like, and he was punching. Like, I think he psyched out Jorginho. That was like proper experience goalkeeping work. Because before it, he was punching the ground and he stood up. But that was an.
And it's also a pressure moment. He had to save that, you know, for us to have any chance. Yeah. And he saved it.
The pressure is usually always on the kicker.
Yeah,
because people don't expect goalkeepers to save it.
Yeah.
But that against Jorginho to save that penalty. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I noticed as well when I was watching the replay was lots of keepers, when Jorginho does his little hop, they go down.
Yeah.
Pickford. I don't know if you've seen it. He goes on his tiptoes.
What a genius.
Like, he goes even bigger. And then Jorginho kicks it and then he dives down to the right way. I just thought that whole thing was...
He's come on. It looks like he's sussed that type of penalty technique from Jorginho. Because in the Spain game, he sent the keeper. The keeper was laying on the floor before he even kicked the ball.
Yeah, it's true.
Before he took the pen.
Jorginho was back in Rome by the time.
But should we chat about the second half before we kind of got into penalties?
I think we just sat further. I do think at the start of the first half, we came out a little bit better in terms of, like, I think obviously he must have said, stop sitting so deeper. Get forward a bit more.
At the start of the second half.
But then Italy, when they got onto the ball, they literally... But I never thought...
They kept the ball
I genuinely never felt like Italy because I felt we were so solid at the back for most of the game. I never thought we were in danger of a goal. Like, no. There weren't that many goal attempts.
The thing is, though,
you know?
if that is true. But when Italy scored, England had one shot on target and Italy had 7 shots and 4 on target.
Yeah, that's so not good enough, is
you
it?
You can't sit off, especially in the final. Like, Italy are in the final for a reason. Mm-hmm. And previously we said that they were, like, the best team in the tournament. So you can't sit off them.
Mm.
And Mark said at the beginning, they had the best midfield in the tournament. So you're just letting these guys, Verratti, Jorginho, have the ball. Eventually, yeah, they're going to find someone. And exactly, although it came from a corner, which we need to talk about, Mount who was it? Oh, Stones, who was marking Chiellini.
Stones didn't give away a penalty, man.
But I saw a lot of criticism from Jordan Pickford, but I think that was a great save.
Yeah,
that was a really good save. It's the worst way. Honestly, that was the worst way we could have conceded a goal because Italy didn't have to work for it.
Mm.
It was just a corner, really good save from Pickford, and then Bonucci's there to tap it in from 1 yard.
People, I absolutely hate him. I can't stand Bonucci. When he was going, it's coming to Rome.
It's coming to Rome.
Do you think I was even there to listen to that bit?
But it was just frustrating because, like, you saw Mancini making substitutions, and you're just looking at Southgate thinking,
and they were positive ones.
They were right ones, and they were positive ones impacting the game. What were we
really
doing?
And then what Italy did as well that was, you know, unfortunately really good, was as soon as they scored, the play acting came.
Yeah.
Chiesa
was phenomenal, by the way.
If you touch an Italian player, they're going to go down, they're going to roll around, they're gonna milk it for
waste
all this
time.
Work, and that's what they did.
Mm.
And which brings me to why Argentina is the descendants of the Italians. Because
We'll get into that. We'll talk about that one later.
Come on.
That's not the name of our podcast.
I know. I don't know why I added that one in the middle.
But so I just feel like they managed the game after that point. I think, like, after that, it was really difficult seeing England come back into the game because they were managing the ball and the time. Everything was to Italy's, like, there discretion.
There was some poor, like, counter-attacks from our side.
Yeah, there was. No, but Tanya, I think you made a really good point about subs. I think it was Immobile was
terrible.
Useless, right?
Yeah.
And what was it? 55th minute. Off you come. Because if you're not... If it's not working, you're coming off and we're going to switch it up a little bit. And that's what Mancini wasn't afraid to do. And that's what I think Gareth Southgate was maybe a bit more afraid to do.
That was
a
really clever move from Mancini because...
Mancini.
Mason. Roberto Mount.
Roberto Mount.
Immobile, he was getting nothing out of Maguire. Maguire and Stones were heading everything where he had him in his pocket. Mm-hmm. So he went, all right, I'll change it up a bit. I thought he was going to put Chiesa down the middle, but he put Insigne down the middle. I was like, why are you putting Insigne? He's like half of Maguire. Like, but then they went a little bit shorter and they would stop going long, stop throwing crosses in. And then they were trying to get down the sides a bit as well. Like
they were more direct, I felt like.
But Chiesa, what a baller, man. He's a baller.
Absolute
like,
player.
He's so un-Italian in his skills because he's got pace and power in abundance.
Mm.
And if you've got so much pace and power that you're troubling Kyle Walker,
then you're a problem.
It's his directness as well. Every time he got the ball, I don't know if Mancini told him to do this at half time. It's like every time he got the ball, he just ran at the defence.
Yeah.
Like in the first half, none of the Italians were doing that.
Mm.
And Calvin Phillips and Rice were able to just sweep up.
I said Calvin Phillips. Oh, I thought you said Calvin Lewin. Sorry, my bad.
No.
So quick to try and catch me out. The one time I said the name right as well. But yeah, and then in the second half, he just decided that he was just going to pick up the ball and run at the defence. And that caused a lot of issues. Because then he was like, when he got into the box, Walker and I think Stones had to come and then just leaving space for other players. Like the left back, Emerson, had a good game. Mm. And then in the middle as well.
But this is the thing. This is what Mark was touching on at the beginning, like the difference in managers, like the experience, the knowledge, the know-how, tactics. Like Southgate, for me, just didn't have it, unfortunately, when it really mattered.
Yeah, what I will say, he got it right a lot of times during the tournament.
Yeah, 100%.
Definitely. But I don't think it's... I don't think it's a really negative thing to say that he got it wrong in the final when it happens. Yeah.
I think, to be honest, I think he overthought it.
Yeah,
that's
he did a pep.
That's how I view it. He overthought it. He thought, you know, how like, in his mind, he probably must have had like 10 team sheets that he could have gone with.
Mm-hmm. It's so stressful, I can imagine.
I agree. It is very much like Pep. Like Pep in the Champions League final. I mean, I'm not saying listen to the fans here, but I mean, is it not blindingly obvious yet?
Blindingly obvious.
Right, is it every word you are going to jump in on?
I'm not that
you just did that to me.
Sorry, my bad. All right. Is it not blindingly obvious that every time Jack Grealish comes on, the crowd goes mental?
Yeah.
Like, why don't you just...
But that doesn't
there's a reason
mean
for
anything.
That. No, but there's a reason for that, because he's had an amazing season and he's a difference maker. And there's plenty of times in this tournament where he has made the difference. Came on against Denmark, we looked more threatening. Came on against Germany.
But even in this game, he made the difference. He was the one actually running at people, creating.
But even then, I think at that point, Italy was waiting for pens by that point. Yeah, you know, Italy, I think they were a bit tired. Jorginho got injured in the first half, played the whole game.
Which brings me to what we're talking about, extra time. He should have, if you're going to do what he did, he should have brought on Rashford and Sancho for the entire extra time.
Yes, he should have. Thank you.
At least the 15-second half, like the 15.
I think they should have come on the second half. They should have come on the second half.
Well, perhaps. But I think at that point, Abdi's completely right. Italy were settling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't think they had a few attacks where Pickford made that save that looked like he was spinning around and he punched the ball. But they didn't do much. And I feel like we didn't... I think we lacked the energy and the pace to get behind them. Like we've mentioned, Saka didn't have the best cameo.
Yeah, and I think as well, it's a good point about Rashford and Sancho, because they knew when they were coming on, I'm only coming on to take a penalty kick. It would have doubled the pressure for them. Whereas if they came on with 15 minutes to go, for example, they're thinking to themselves, okay, he wants me to impact this game. If it goes to pens, I'm taking one. But first of all, my job is to impact this game. And they didn't really have that. It was, you're on, take a pen, and I think that doubled the pressure for them in terms of going up and
that's
and
why
stepping
I was concerned, because I just thought they didn't even have time to warm up. Like, you need to have that breathing space to like get into the game, suss the game out, and then when it comes to penalties, you might be in a better mood for it. Because it'd just be like,
although plenty of managers have done that.
But there is,
like, if you've ever played like football, and you've ever come on as a sub, you need 3 or 4 minutes to get to acclimatise to the pace of the game. You can't just come on and, you know...
Like
Some players do. Like, some players, like, one game here and one game there, they're impact subs. They come on and straight away they make an impact. But it does take 3 or 4 minutes for you to get to the pace of the game. Because
Abdi, I hear what you're saying, but do you not think then, veering away from needing, like, to warm up and get yourself in the game... Do you not think...
It's not just a kick from...
You see when they're walking up from the halfway line, it's a long walk.
Yeah, I hear you both.
Now, let me ask this question. Do you not think that what they're thinking while they're walking up to that penalty spot is literally, all I've been asked to do is come on and score this penalty? I honestly think that put double the pressure on them in their own minds. They're walking up. He didn't want me to play a part in this game. He didn't want me to impact this game. All he wants me to do is take a penalty. And now I've got the weight of the country on my shoulders. I wasn't with that bringing them on in the 129th minute business.
What did you think about the
129th minute?
That's when Rashford and Sancho come on.
They literally came
129th.
119th. You know what I meant.
Yeah. The extra.
That was correcting
time.
Me without like without correcting me.
And he didn't even do it like in the beginning of the extra time. He did it towards the end. That is he got it so wrong.
Did you not see when he was giving the names?
Now your point. Because you were interrupting Mark about, you said it's just a kick from 12 yards.
No, but I mean, like, I was going back on the point of getting into the pace of the game. But I mean, he was, like, it's not the first time anyone's been brought on in the 119th.
No, but it is the first time two players have been brought on at the same time to take a penalty kick in the final of the European Championship.
I'm just talking from Southgate's point of view. He probably thinks these are two of my best penalty takers. So I'm bringing him on. I'm not disputing the point that they would have made a difference if we brought him on in extra time or in normal time. Like, they're too obviously, and he's barely used them this tournament. So he just said, "I get what you're saying. Come on, just take a pen at this in the final. It's a lot of pressure." But I mean, just on the pens in general. Did you see the Southgate when he was going around telling everyone?
Yeah.
Man went Kane, Maguire, Rashford, Sancho, Saka. Then he went Pickford. Calvin Phillips, 7th. And then who? I don't know who he said.
I think
eight.
Someone was 8. Sterling was 9.
What who the
was
hell?
Grealish?
Nine.
No, sorry. So Grealish was meant to be 8, but he put himself forward and said, "I want to be 6." So Grealish was then 6, and Pickford was 8. I was reading this.
Oh my God.
But listen, there's no denying they would have had. He said they've been training penalties for the whole month and before that, and they would have had a lot of statistics to back them up and say these are our 5 best penalty takers. So I hear what you're saying. Yes, like penalties are just.
Penalties are
stick them in the back of the net.
But when I was looking at it, I was thinking, me and my friend, we were talking about who the penalty takers would be. I said Kane definitely.
Yeah,
I said Rashford 100. Definitely. Rashford Sancho because he brought him on for that.
Sterling.
I thought Sterling definitely.
I thought Sterling would have been the fifth.
And I thought he brought. I don't know. I wasn't thinking about Grealish, but I was thinking Luke Shaw because Luke Shaw took one.
Yeah, Luke Shaw.
I thought that those were and left backs generally. I don't know. They're generally quite good penalty takers. Mm-hmm. So
Maguire's pen though.
He
surprised me that penalty.
Maguire, why is he sticking that like more bins than there is even
just
top
me.
Bins?
He broke the camera.
He literally
that
broke the
amazing.
Camera.
Yeah,
it's top penalty,
BBC
man.
Equipment.
Amazing,
yeah.
I don't think it's BBC equipment.
No, UEFA equipment.
Honestly, I think yeah, true. Honestly, I think Harry Kane is by far and away England's clearest and best penalty taker. Yeah. So for me, he should have been number 5. The pressure penalty. Whether it got to number 5 or not, you don't know.
We were talking about that literally last
about,
episode.
Like,
for
Ronaldo
me...
And who was it? Mbappe.
No, but Ronaldo went 5th and Mbappe went 5th for different
this
reasons. They went 5th because they wanted the glory, let's be honest. Okay. I think Harry Kane should have been the 5th penalty taker because
Kane.
He's the best penalty taker.
Kane is the best at
Colombia. Against Colombia, Kane did go first. It worked. Like the ones we took against Colombia, it was Kane, Rashford...
Dyer, I think.
Henderson, Trippier and Dyer.
Dyer, yeah.
Henderson was the one who missed. But I mean... in this one, I don't want to hold it against anyone. It's just a lottery. It's just the only issue I had really was one Sterling and Grealish or and Saka's never taken a penalty. Like I've never even seen him.
Yeah,
take
I've
a
not
penalty.
Seen him take
even
a penalty.
He hasn't. He's not taken a penalty in his senior football career.
And we've had quite a few shootouts. In
the last
couple
I don't
of
even
years.
Think he never taken he took a penalty against Liverpool in the Community Shield.
No, nothing. Yeah. And he I think he was off the pitch at that point.
Yeah, but
then. And also, like, Saka going 5th as well.
Yeah,
5th
is
a lot. Like,
so
and
much.
It wasn't even like...
That's
Saka
what I'm saying about Kane.
He went up to Saka and said, you're 5th. That should go... I thought maybe 5th should go to Rashford. Because Rashford, he's done it with pressure penalty before against
PSG. Yeah.
I remember he would have taken that as well. And it would
but
be
also,
perfect as well.
I feel people are really harsh on Rashford because it was almost a perfect pen. It just hit the post.
It's not his usual style. Mm, his
I don't know. I was the run-up and everything was suspect.
He
smashes
it always. He always does that run-up.
Yeah, but it's not his... The way he did it where he waited. He did a borderline Bruno. He didn't hop, but I mean, like, waited.
No, wait, he waited, but he sent Donnarumma the wrong way. The only thing that changed was that when he didn't look at the ball once and he kind of scuffs his shot. That's what happened. He scuffs his shot and it goes and hits the post.
But he sent Donnarumma.
That was the only pen that sent Donnarumma.
Donnarumma went the
right way every...
Well, Maguire.
They could have 10 goalkeepers.
I think she wants to say something.
Yeah, but
no.
I haven't finished my point.
You haven't finished.
They could have 10 goalkeepers for Maguire's pen and none of them would have got it. Tanya.
Oh, sorry. No, I'm ready now. No, I was going to say, like, I was worried about Saka when I knew it was going to penalties.
Same.
Just purely because he is 19 years old. And I think Ian Wright was saying, you know, he can still score penalties and whatnot. It's nothing about age. But I'm sorry, you have to bear these things in mind. Like, he's a young player who I think carries Arsenal on his back, personally.
Oh, he said that many
it's
times.
Way too much. I just can't believe he decided to put him in that position.
It's,
it really annoyed
it's
me.
True, and you made a good point, Abdi, about... Sorry, Tanya, but you made
on,
a good... Like, he... you. It was all. It's all on film. He went up to Saka and said, you're number 5.
Yeah. What
it
the
wasn't.
Hell?
It wasn't... How do you feel about being number 5? We haven't got much time, but how do you feel about that?
Gonna,
it was,
is he gonna
you
say,
are 5.
Is he going to say, no, I don't want it?
He's not going to say,
exactly.
No, he's not. But
I wish he did for
it
his
was
own.
Straight, yeah. You're number 5, yeah? Mm. And Saka kind of just nodded and was like, yeah. Mm. And that was it. That's the end of that conversation.
Oh,
and it's just like...
Heartbreak.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I know you guys don't agree about the Kane being number 5 thing, but I would have had
it's
Harry Maguire at
agree.
Number 1.
But
this is a man who can deal with pressure and pressure situations. And his penalty was the best penalty out of all 10 of them.
It depends. You want to get off to the best possible start, though, don't you?
You do, maybe. But you do. Know. But Gareth Southgate would have backed all 5 of them to score. You don't know who's going to score and who's going to miss before the penalty shootout has taken place.
Yeah.
Yeah, but statistically, it's the team that goes ahead that usually wins the...
Yeah, but Maguire, we scored our first two penalties, you got to remember.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, true. So that's what I'm saying, to get off to a good start.
When Pickford same for Bellotti, I lost my...
I lost my marbles. Bad!
And then when Pickford saved from Jorginho, I was like, this is it.
I thought we've done it. I thought we've done it.
And then I thought Sterling was stepping up. And then literally when I saw Saka, I went, Saka.
Yeah, I put my head down. I was like, no, you can't. You can't do this to me. I was like, you just can't. No.
I was crying from then. I really was.
And it wasn't, I mean, let's be real. It wasn't a great pen. And do you think that's because of the situation?
Yeah, I think so.
Because they were saying, and I've been reading a lot, and they were saying he is top two, top three penalty takers in that England squad. Mm-hmm. From what they've seen in training, they said
if he went second or third, I think he would have scored.
Yeah,
That guy has done way more in not obviously more pressurized situations, but I mean just generally he dealt with pressure a lot at Arsenal. I mean, he literally carried our football.
Yeah, he has
carried you on his back for a season.
So I think I don't have any worries about him as a penalty taker in future. I think just that situation, then having to save the country at that point. Because Pickford saved us. He kept us in the Euros at that point. Mm-hmm. And then Saka to take it to sudden death is just a lot of pressure. And then just by the way he was running up, I had a bad feeling.
It's just because all of the players had a long run up. Saka had a short run up. Yeah. And he didn't look... I don't know. For me, it didn't look...
But how would you... The pressure...
He was telegraphing it as well. Like, he was... It looked like... You could tell he was going to go that way.
Mm. The place I was in just went silent. You could hear a pin drop. But I just want to quickly big up Calvin Phillips as well, because what he did in the way that he sprinted pretty much with that Italy team, he sprinted the whole half of the pitch with them so he could get to... He definitely did, just so he could get to Saka ASAP, because it wasn't nice for him. He had, 23... Italians plus all of the coaching staff sprinting towards him and running past him, screaming, celebrating, and potentially the biggest low of his career.
Junior's actually going to cry.
Junior's out here
because it is devastating.
This could be the biggest low of his career, and for me, he's got a massive career ahead of him, first of all, but for me, Calvin Phillips, for the first thing for him to think of over the loss was his teammate, and I really, really respected that from Calvin Phillips, because, like I said, it would have been hard for him to take that loss. He was one of our standout players, and his first thought, let me go and console my teammate.
Saka will come back stronger anyway. I love the fact that everyone came together after that. Like, you're seeing all the footballers saying, you know, Saka, we're here behind you. I mean, even Tottenham, you know, mentioned Saka saying we stand by you and everything. It's quite nice that all rivalry and everything can be put aside, because I'm not going to lie to you. You know, you see those stupid people, like stupid Tottenham fans saying, oh, haha, Arsenal player missed the penalty. None of that. I absolutely adore Saka. And I'll say it with chest. I don't care if I'm a plastic fan. I think he's a great young talent. And it's just unfortunate. I just hope this doesn't affect him. He'll be a bit down in the dumps, I assume, right now. But I know he'll come back stronger next season, and he'll be at the next World Cup.
I just can't wait
till
when our first game at the Emirates.
Yeah, he'll get...
Oh, he's going to get so much love.
Because, like, you know, outside of that, he's had an amazing tournament as well.
Yeah.
Like, the guy, brilliant. He set up the goal against Denmark in the semi-final. There he is making the goal. He was a complete threat the whole game. He was great against Czech Republic. Like, he's 19 years old, and what are we doing?
Your face.
And I know this isn't, you know, like...
Junior, pull yourself together.
I don't mean
okay.
to bring this guy up, but Gary Neville made a good point. He said, whole of the tournament, you lot have loved Saka, bigged him up, and then to knock him down in a moment like this is outrageous.
It's testament to your character. If you're out here and you think he's funny in any sort of way, simply because he plays for Arsenal, and
it's just ridiculous.
For me, that's a testament of your character, and I think we should just, Arsenal or not, everyone needs to get behind Saka. And not just Saka, because it's going to be hard for Rashford. It's going to be hard for Sancho.
Well. Sancho, yeah.
These boys are 23, 21 and 19.
They are literally the future of this country.
Yeah.
They're three top, like the top level of young
Sancho
talent
is
in the world. Yeah. So, they're going to be the future of our team for the next 10 years. So.
But again, 23, 21 and 19.
So, yeah, Rashford is already, I think, in my opinion, he's already proved that he's
at the table of the top guys. You know, he's done
and
a lot.
Yeah, he's done amazing.
And he's already said before, like with the Villarreal loss and stuff like that, he said before that he is mentally strong.
He's very mentally strong.
But
yeah.
And I think Rashford probably be the best person to console both Saka and Sancho.
All right, let's get it over with, yeah. What the stuff after the game?
Yeah.
Honestly, it's not like it's. I don't know about you, Tand, but like for me as a black person, it's not surprising.
No,
like, it doesn't surprise me at all.
That's the worst thing.
It's
man.
Just it's obviously it's disgusting. It's all of these things you can say, but like it doesn't surprise me. It's just almost and what. But what's annoyed me the most yet is that people are listing Rashford. He's fed kids and Saka is a role model and all this, that, the other. Even if they weren't that, we don't have to portray these players as being exceptional people to not get racially abused, you know? Like, even if it was just... And the thing is, as well, it doesn't matter that it was... Oh, it's almost as if saying, oh, well, he's one of the good ones. Don't say that about him. Because if it was Mings or Reece James or Calvert-Lewin, they'd get the same abuse.
Yeah, 100%.
So it doesn't...
Or any player.
Any player, exactly. So,
you don't have to be at a European Championship just to be, oh, you're an exceptional talent. Exactly. No, any player at any level, like grassroots, amateur, whatever, shouldn't be getting abused for missing a penalty or having a bad game or that they play for a different team. Like...
But honestly, it's just sad that the first thing I was thinking of is, oh no, like when Saka missed, I thought, God, like they're going to have to turn their phones off tonight. And it's sad that you have to think about these things, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's terrible. Awful. And like what they did to Rashford's mural in Manchester is
disgusting,
atrocious.
Disgusting individuals.
But shout out to the people, is it Whittington that he's from? Shout out to the people of Whittington who restored the mural and they filled it with flags and banners saying incredible things about him.
Throughout this whole tournament, we've literally seen what it can be like at the best of times in this country.
Yeah, it can all come
together.
Vibes,
the celebrations. Honestly, I was loving all of the... I was consuming everything after the semi-final. Yeah. Watching all the reaction videos, watching the...
All the celebrations.
Songs, everything like that. I watched the highlights many times because I want to watch the crowd and everything. And then literally, it takes losing. And we haven't come this far in 55 years. So that's not enough for most people.
Wait, let's pause.
It takes losing for people to show the worst side of it.
Let's pause. It doesn't even take losing. It takes getting to a final. Because before the final, England fans were fighting each other. They were beating up Italians. They rushed the gates to get into the stadium. Like, and this is... Look, I grew up in this country. I'm not from here. My family's not from here. But I consider myself English and Brazilian. So...
You're Brazilian?
No.
No way.
But the thing that really gets to me is that it just takes just something so little for someone to turn around and just say, like, obviously I've never experienced what you guys have experienced, but I have heard you came into this country in a mango boat, you go back to your country, your dad's going to kidnap you, blah, blah. I've heard all of that. Yeah. Just because of where I'm from. It just takes one little thing. How do we revert to that? Like, when someone pisses me off, it's not the first thing I think of. I'm not. Well, oh right, where's this person from? I don't revert straight to that. So how do we get that? And so like, England are supposed to be bidding for the 2030 World Cup. How do these fans think that acting this way, where you're beating up Italian people or you're rushing stadiums and you're racially abusing your own players?
Because they don't think. They have no brain cells.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, and then you're trying to say, oh, we never get the World Cup. There's a reason why you don't get the World Cup.
The whole fighting and rioting stuff, although we see it a lot here, it's not...
No, it's not specific to England. But what I'm saying is, before a game, like, there's no need for it.
Before your country's biggest game in 55 years. But going back to the point of the racial abuse... I just think it's time now for social media companies to step it up.
100%.
In terms of not even just deleting comments. There has to be... it shouldn't even have to get to that point where you have to delete the comments. It should be... There should be a process to sign up to a social media account where... I'm not sure how you'd do it and it would take
ID
a long time
something.
To work it out, but you need to sign up with some sort of ID or... And I also think in terms of the FA, I just think now... The FA's, for me, the FA's words are empty. Until we start to see some action, words mean nothing. Because if you can't see action, then, again, the words that you're going to spout out over the years to make things seem like they're all right We see through that now.
Yeah,
and it's not good enough. And it's time for the FA to really, really take some action. And if that means banning people for life from football games because of what they're posting on social media, good, so be it. If that means heavier punishments, good, so be it. But we need to start making
examples
of people. Otherwise, it's not going to stop. In fact, it's actually... why is it so easy to racially abuse someone and get away with it?
Yeah,
it's crazy. Just on your point about social media, did you know that it takes 10 seconds for content on Instagram to be flagged for copyright? So if it takes 10 seconds for content to be flagged for copyright, how does it not take the same amount of time or even less if someone's posing like racial abuse at people? Or even derogatory comments to anyone.
It's because they're not serious about...
And then the second thing, Mark was talking about the FA. You know what? I think it goes way beyond that. Boris Johnson and...
Oh, the biggest hypocrite.
Mind my language, yeah? You evil bitch.
They both told England fans to boo. To boo players taking the knee.
She's a disgrace. Boris Johnson said, I'll say it with chess. She's a disgrace.
What did he say? He goes, oh, I don't like gestures. Meanwhile,
she said gesture politics.
No, no. Boris Johnson said, I don't like gestures. He said, I don't care for gestures.
Meanwhile, 8 p.m. we're clapping for the NHS.
Clapping for the NHS. Meanwhile, he's posing outside with an England flag, which is an empty gesture.
Sterling scored.
And so, and then now they come out
Is it Kane?
And now they're coming out and saying, like, you know, it's abhorrent and all this. But you started it by saying that you can boo your
love. Shout out to Tyrone Mings as well, though. Shout out to
Big him up.
I've actually never felt prouder of a football player who I don't have a connection, never had a connection with Tyrone Mings because, you know, he's played for Villa.
I've got a connection.
Brentford. Was it Brentford or Bournemouth?
Ipswich, Bournemouth,
etc. He's just about worked his way into the England squad recently. I've never felt prouder of a football player, period, than the way I did Tyrone Mings because it takes some guts to call out a big senior government minister and call it for what it really is in front of the whole world.
There's possibility that someone would have told him to take it down as well.
But he hasn't.
He hasn't.
And the thing is,
well, I like the way he articulated himself.
Yeah, it's the way
he
articulated it.
If it was me, bruv, I'm telling the worst things.
Yeah, he did it. You're right. It's
like,
the way
come
he put it
right now, innit?
Definitely.
Meet me outside, turn down.
Very educated response.
Hey, you and Big Man Boris.
Oh, it's heartbreaking, isn't it? Heartbreaking. But
2021, we move.
Can we give 2022? Sorry.
No, we will. But just to end, though, we have to remember the future is very bright with England. Mm-hmm. We've got a very, very young squad. And I think we will 100% win something within the next 4 years. I guarantee it. I'm putting my
Are we just in the World Cup?
Just the World Cup then?
Yeah, I think we will.
Euros are 3 years away.
Yeah.
Three years ago?
Yeah, good
We'll
point.
Win it. We'll win it.
Cool.
Quick math.
People will get let off.
Come on.
No, I think...
Just the World Cup then.
I was thinking... I agree with you, Tanya. I would say the next 4 or 5 tournaments. I don't know about next 4 years. I would love for that to be the case.
Come on,
but
we've got
they're
hope.
All still so young. Like Saka, 19. Sancho, 21. Rashford, 23.
They're not hit their prime. Can you imagine when they hit their prime?
Only 25.
Grealish is only Mount. 25. Mount, 23,
Sancho,
24.
Mount, yeah. Foden.
There's a lot of talent.
A lot of
DCL,
players
young.
Are either
Chilwell,
in their prime.
James.
A lot of players Trent. Are either Trent. In their prime or coming into
And
their
remember
prime.
The players that didn't get picked. Smith-Rowe. Madison, Ward-Prowse,
Bellingham.
17, bro. Bellingham will still be a child next year, bro.
You got Joe Gomez to come back into that squad.
It's
a healthy, healthy squad, and I think within the next 3 or 4 tournaments, Smith-Rowe for the 23s. <I'm joking>. it's a healthy, healthy.
And Curtis Jones.
We'll see who makes what.
Curtis Jones will make the jump to Jamaica.
Now, I genuinely think, like, in terms of midfield, I think in the next couple of years, England's midfield is going to.
This is why I was a bit annoyed with the way, like, we could have gone for it. Like, I don't know if you saw it, but Didi Haman was on Twitter basically saying, We've got attacking talent more than anyone in this tournament in terms of depth. Like, in this final alone, no Saka, no Grealish, no Rashford, no Sancho. Foden wasn't even in the squad. All of those players didn't start. And how many league clubs would they start for across Europe? And that's why I was like, we've got attacking talent that scares anyone. And if we had gone for it a little bit more, then I feel like we could have won it. And that's why, like, I'm still... Although I'm proud of the way we've done it, but I'm like, it's a big disappointment because Now we have to do it all over again at the World Cup in a different country. But like, we had the tournament in our backyard to win it. Bruv, I think you probably would have got home now, Mark, or something like that, like if we won. That's why I was just like... I do think there is an element of pride as well in the way that, you know, we all expected minimum semi-final. They took a step forward. They made history, first time in 55 years getting to a final. Yeah. And you know, it's a very, very likable group of players.
Like, oh, I love every single one of them.
Let's not forget that couple of games into the groups or after the first game, which was Croatia, we were all sitting here, not us, but just the nation, thinking, oh, what's the best way to go? Should we finish second because we've got an easier route? We were scared of the teams that we were going to play, basically. If we finished first, maybe we would have got France or Portugal. If we finished second, maybe we get an easier tie and an easier draw. And just as the tournament kept progressing, it kind of was like, hold on. People should maybe be more afraid of us than we are of them. And that's now the attitude that we've got to go into this World Cup in 2022, next Euros. We've got to go in with that attitude now, because it's too much now being scared of who we're going to face. People need to be afraid of us. And if that means, I really, really like Gareth Southgate, but if that means bringing someone in who really wants to utilise that attacking talent we've got, because like I said, for me, look at the talent that was on the bench. You just named it all. Sancho, Rashford, Foden was injured, but he would have been on the bench. Mm-hmm. All of these players, and Grealish, all of these players, and then to drop them all out so you can fit an extra defender in.
Even Italy don't even have the amount of depth we have.
No.
Like, if you think about it, Spinazzola is one of their best players the whole tournament. Emerson is holding bench for a guy who we didn't even play at all this whole tournament in Chilwell. So
true.
Reece James as well, he barely played touch the tournament. And I don't even know who this Di Lorenzo guy is. Like. And they've got two old man centre backs. They both played very well. Chiellini, by the way, was... absolute
just quick, you know, those two have played over 330 games together at centre back.
That's mad.
Oh my
Chiellini
gosh.
And Bonucci. You got Juventus and Italy.
You know, crazy. Chiellini made his debut in the year 2000.
You know, just on Mark's point, I agree with everything you said. One thing I would just add is that I think the world now will know
about England.
Like, and I think,
come on,
and I think. No, I don't mean that in like an arrogant way. I just think that next winter, the 22 World Cup.
The 22 World Cup.
Whatever, man, I don't even care. But the next World Cup, England, people are going to know about England's talents. Mm. Like, teams are going to come more prepared.
Oh no, don't say that, Julia.
No, I mean that in a good way as well. Like Mark's saying we should go for it, and I completely agree, but teams will go into it going, right, they've got these many players, how are we gonna defend? Teams are gonna come more defensively, teams are gonna come more like tactically prepared. Which is it's a compliment to England.
What about Southgate then? I know we've got to move on, but like this World Cup, I know it's not been long, but I'm just thinking, what's the minimum requirement there then with the World Cup?
You've got to go one step further.
Win it.
You've got to win it. And then what?
You got to win it.
Is he done out?
No, if he wins it, is
No. But like, if we don't win it, like, would we stick with Southgate?
I think it depends what happens in the World Cup. Like, I don't think England have been cursed previously in quarterfinals. If England go out in the quarterfinal again with the pool of talent that they have, it's unacceptable.
Because if you think about it, the World Cup is essentially it's what we've been playing this whole tournament is Europe and Brazil, Argentina. It's not much.
Yeah, it's not much. It's not,
and having watched the Copa America, there's not much to fear. So Messi will be how long? How much?
All right, don't lose your voice.
He's 34 now.
Yeah. So yeah,
when's his birthday? Because it might be 36.
I still think he'll play. But you raise a good point. Obviously, you've got like
that much, is it?
You said it yourself, so I'm not out here like disregarding South American football because there's absolute quality players over there. But the South American teams will come and they'll kick us all over the park.
They will.
Your teams like Chile and Colombia and
Brazil and Argentina.
No, Brazil, no.
Bruv, that was UFC what I watched.
Not from Brazil.
Yes, from Brazil.
All right, do you know what?
How many fouls did Casemiro make?
Let's congratulate Italy.
Yeah, massive congratulations.
And that's overall probably the best team in the tournament.
Yeah,
you got to give them their dues. And it's unfortunate, but like I said, I think we're all proud of the boys. But we've spent a whole hour and 3 minutes on this game. So, Junior, I'm really sorry. By the way, we're all disappointed, and I'm talking to the listeners here, because we've had one big loss this weekend. The guy sitting on my left has had two big final losses this weekend.
Boy, so, within 24
hours.
On the same day.
Man's,
so, Junior.
Man stayed up.
I've got to say, can I just get this out in the open? And I wanted to see Brazil win, right? But I have to say it. I am happy for Lionel Messi.
Yeah, happy Messi.
He just deserves to end his career. Not that it's ending anytime soon.
Big up the Celso too.
It would have been a shame. All right, he killed it. It would have been a shame to see him go out of football whenever he does without an international trophy. So that was good to see. But talk us through it. No.
Come on, Junior. You could do it.
As soon as the game started, to be honest, I knew Brazil weren't on it. I knew they were there for bants because Argentina started so quickly. And the thing is that they kept the ball. They played on a counter. They invited Brazil on. Like, Brazil were playing like it was Power League. They were just passing about. They were just moving forward slowly, playing these balls sideways.
Neymar had to come really deep.
Argentina would steal the ball, kick a man, and then move forward and progress. Like, the goal came from a mistake from Renan Lodi, who for me is like, honestly, he's atrocious.
I don't
brother.
Claim to be a Brazilian football expert, but when I saw your starting 11, I just thought,
nah,
it's not how I'd like, it's not what I'd do.
This is the thing, it's like, Brazil is such a fall from grace. The midfield is like Paquetá and Fred, man. I get it, it's too negative if you play like Casemiro and Fabinho, but Fabinho is better than Fred and Paquetá combined.
Fred's not Brazilian, though. He shouldn't even be playing for Brazil.
And then the fullbacks, Danilo and Renan Lodi. It's pain. And then the only things that I like about Brazil is obviously the two centre-backs. One is 36. And the two goalkeepers that we have, which, for one... Like,
I can't play them both, though.
I don't blame... No, I know. You could play... No, never mind. I don't
blame...
What
are you saying? Alisson's better than Fred?
I was going to say that.
Got more goals than him this
season. Say, you could try him in midfield. It wouldn't be worse. But then, like, you move up and you've only got Neymar up the field. And then you've got Richarlison, who's atrocious. I don't care.
Oh, God. Richarlison.
Jesus out here getting more red cards than goals. You know, it's crazy.
Where was Firmino?
On the bench.
And then he came on in second
half.
Oh, is it? But, like, my point is, like, we said it in the... Well, I said it first, and it sounded a bit like a hot take. When I said it earlier in the season about Richarlison and how I think I don't rate him, there's nothing to him. He's so basic.
No, I said he's still young.
He's 24, bro.
I don't know why you would play him ahead of the more senior guys.
And the thing is, like, for Everton, he plays out wide and then he backs up DCL in the middle. But he's so limited. Like, the only thing he is a nuisance. That's it. For both opponents and his teammates. And then you have Gabigol, who... Can I tell you about Gabigol? Let's talk about Gabigol.
Is this the...
Gabriel Barbosa.
The wonder kid?
Yeah.
Or from Gremio, right?
Gabigol. No, Gabigol is from Santos.
Cool.
Let me tell you about Gabigol.
He's the one who Martinez made a shade from him in the second half.
Yeah. Let me tell you about Gabigol. Gabigol burst onto the scene, Michael Richards style. Burst onto the scene, and he was like 18 or whatever. Inter come and buy Gabigol, yeah? For a lot of money. Come to Italy. This is it. Man's going to do it Adriano style. He comes to Italy, plays 8 games, refuses to train, turns up late. The manager goes, "You're not playing." So he goes, "I want to go back to Brazil." He goes to Santos. He goes back on loan to Santos, and he gets straight into the team. Now, let me tell you why. When in Brazil, if the president of the football club likes you or your boys with them, bun the manager, you're going straight in. What kind of precedent is that for players? I don't have to try hard. The president likes me.
Yeah, that's so bad.
So he leaves Inter and goes to Flamengo, top scorer in Brazil, rah, rah, rah. What does that prove? Mm. It doesn't prove nothing. Oh, you had a bad time at Inter and you've refused to work for it. Mm-hmm. This is the standard that Brazil has set from the past. Romario never used to train. But Romario is different. Romario used to play for Barcelona and he refused to train. You can see interviews from the managers. It's like Romario just didn't turn up to train.
So when I said Brazilian players are playboys, why did you disagree with me? No, Man straight up said, I'm not training.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you. I just don't want that to be... Because Brazil has a lot of like negative stereotypes. Mm. And I don't want that to be the case.
Like what?
And we're not going to go into it.
Right, you're just trying to wind him up.
Can I bring it back to the...
Wait, let me just finish, yeah. So that's the present. That's the striker that you have who is now he's 22, 23 or however old he is. And that's the future of our nation. Like we don't have... Going forward is really limited what we have. The only hope I have is like for players a lot younger coming through, like Martinelli, like players who are going to the Olympics, like Bruno Guimarães, who I think should have been playing in this tournament, the Copa America, because he can pass rings around Fred. Fred just runs, bruv. Might as well be Forrest Gump. That's all he does. Manager tells him, just run. So that's what I'm saying. Like, the talent pool is really limited in Brazil.
Yeah.
And what we've seen, and Mark alluded to it, the quality level has dipped enormously. That the rest of South America, let alone Europe, Africa, and wherever else, have caught up. That's the way I see it. Brazil have had a massive fall from grace. If you watch that game, couldn't string two passes together.
It was an ugly game of football.
Martinez barely made any saves. We had a goal that was offside that I disgracefully cheered for. Richarlison, that bum.
That you
it
do
was
not
just
rate him,
unbelievably un-Brazilian. It was like watching League One football. Then yeah. Man,
do you know what?
Argentina.
League One football is way more interesting, bro.
Argentina kicked Brazil to pieces. How DePaul and Acuña didn't get a yellow card
DePaul
in that first
half? Had a great game, though. He's probably the best.
Doesn't matter if he had a great game. How many times did he kick man's shin? Neymar left the pitch with ripped socks and a ripped shorts.
Well, he's just signed for Simeone at Atletico, so it's perfect.
Literally perfect.
He's literally wow. Simeone on the pitch, isn't
he? But that's what I'm saying. Like, Neymar left pitch with ripped shorts, ripped socks. Paqueta had a fat hole in his sock.
He's Brazilian players, he's just pansies.
Oh, Junior, you're so stressed.
He's actually going
to
cry.
I'm glad you've managed to get that out of your system. I can tell that's been burning since Sunday.
He was saying all that by himself until 4 a.m.
To the TV.
Fred, now, a bit,
you're Forrest Gump, bro.
A bit of context, though. So the game finished 1-0 to Argentina.
Di Maria.
Di Maria, first half goal.
Big up Di Maria.
Yeah, I heard he played
just
well.
To say, just on that goal, I think Edison made his mind up for him.
He does that a lot.
By rushing out. You're talking about Di Maria rushing at you on his right foot, which is obviously by far his weaker foot. With Edison rushing out to him like that, it literally said, lob me.
Yeah.
Lob me, please.
He did that in the Tottenham game, remember?
And it made it easy for Di Maria. I think if Edison stayed on his line and just shut off the angles, Di Maria's not getting enough power or precision to beat Edison from where he was.
Yeah.
Plus, he had a defender bearing down on him. I can't remember who it was.
Renan Lodi.
So what are you saying, Alisson should have played?
No. I'm not saying that at all. I know Alisson played the Alisson game number played. One for Brazil. I will always call Alisson. I'm always Alisson over Edison, and some people aren't, and that's fine. But what I'm saying is not even about Alisson. It's just I honestly think Edison made Di Maria's mind up for him.
I think it goes from before that, because DePaul, it's a hopeful ball. He plays a hopeful ball diagonally across the pitch over to Di Maria. Renan Lodi has to cut that out. As soon as Renan Lodi doesn't, it's obviously panic stations. That's why Edison comes rushing out. Because Renan Lodi has two brain cells and one of them is telling him to run and the other one's telling him to breathe. So what do you want him to do?
He's a Simeone player as well. I think it was like 2 a.m., yeah, and I thought I had to turn off because I'm not staying up at 2 a.m. to watch Lo Celso and all that nonsense.
Oi, big up Lo Celso, come on.
And then you talk about Messi deserving to win an international trophy. Bruv, you get what you deserve. Man missed a penalty to beat Chile in a Copa America, and he did that for 2 years running. Mm. And then he had the chance to wrap up the game. He tried to round Henderson and he fell over. So whatever, man, Messi.
But at the end of the day, he collected the trophy.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say as well.
Shout out to Emi Martinez as well. No. When the saves in the semi-final.
I refuse to partake.
I love
in
the fact that he saved against Mina, especially after Mina was twerking in the...
Wait, you must be happy that Brazil lost. You wanted them to lose, didn't you?
I think deep down he didn't. I think deep down he didn't. But I think he's just trying to get to Junior.
Obviously, I'm trying to draw him out. But, bro, we're watching the
Junior's looking at you like, say one more word.
We're watching the game here, yeah? This guy, he told his mum that I was against Brazil.
You said it.
Oh, his mum hotted me up. I was finished. I couldn't even say anything. I was like, no, I support Brazil,
No, this guy is such a liar.
And then he got upset that I lied about it. I'm still going to say it.
No, let me tell you, not only did he lie, he convinced my mum and my girlfriend that he was telling the truth. Then he has the audacity to message a group chat that I'm in, telling everyone that he was lying. I showed my girlfriend and my mum. And then
his mum looked at me and she goes, Abdi, I'm so disappointed.
Yeah, she said, I'm so disappointed.
What did you say to that?
And then he said, honestly, I didn't. And then she goes, I believe you, Abdi.
But yeah, shout out to Messi. I'm glad he got his trophy. Yeah, I was a little bit disappointed for Neymar because obviously he's literally carrying that whole nation on his back.
But I mean, you've got to think, it doesn't make up for it, but Brazil did just win it a couple of years ago.
Yeah, 2019.
And it doesn't make up for any of that, but most of those players have won it before.
Yeah.
They'll now move. How often is the Copa America?
Yeah, Neymar was out
every year. Every year. Yeah. It actually is.
It was last year as well.
So next year, literally next year, next week, they've got a chance to go week. Again.
I'm starting to agree with that. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, don't worry, man. Every year, the team gets a chance for the FA Vase Trophy as well, isn't it?
But you know, back to Mark's point about Alisson played the first game, Edison played the second game, and Weatherton, or whatever his name is, played the third game for. I don't like.
You do not rate Brazil.
I hate them all, man.
Now, let's move on. You've gone through enough pain.
I think the man of the week should be Sancho, Saka, and Rashford.
All three of them.
Yeah. The men of the week.
Well, there's that debate gone.
Isn't it?
No, I just genuinely think, like...
Yeah, men of the week.
Like, it takes courage to even just step up and say that you're going to take a penalty. Mm.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. And listen, I don't... This might be the first ever time I've quoted Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
wow, this is...
I don't even know why I'm quoting him, but it was a nice quote off of one. I just need to find it.
He's better than your manager.
yeah, what, my under sevens?
Your manager was out... Listen, your manager was out partying with the England fans. Have you seen the lookalike?
It was a lookalike. Tanya, oh my
are you
God.
Really... You can't call yourself a football person.
I
think that was
him. I swear, I thought that was Klopp, you know?
No, he
was going around. Like
did you use your glasses as well?
You know why? It's because you're pissed. Standing on the table.
Yeah, that's true. You probably just saw some random guy with a beard.
You know, like, she was on top of the table. She goes, oh, look, close with the eagle fans.
No, but he said, I've got a quote. I've got a quote, and he said, when you step up to take a penalty, I think you've already won. And it's the stepping up for me that.
Well, shout out to Maguire and Harry Kane as well.
Yeah, of course.
No, yeah, of course, but we're standing with the three players who are getting ridiculously criticised for something that every professional footballer... Well, not every, but a lot of
players. No, listen, all right, you got to think, right? There are England players, including Gareth Southgate, England players who have missed penalties. Yeah. Steven Gerrard, Jamie Carragher, Frank Lampard, they've all Stuart missed Pierce. Penalties. Stuart Pearce in shootouts. And the list is much longer than that. All missed penalties and penalty shootouts. And I can guarantee you the reaction was completely different to when Sancho, Rashford and Saka missed their penalties. And that is the problem with the culture in this country. It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Do you want to do the awards? Quick.
Just quickly, even onto that, I saw a lot of people tweeting the picture of Ronaldo crying at Euro 2004. And also Messi has, like I mentioned previously, missed a penalty that could have won Argentina Copa America how many other years ago against Chile. So these players have the rest of their careers to make up for it and be great, basically.
Mad that Messi won his first... Argentina title 5 years to the day that Ronaldo won his first one with Portugal.
I just think if I'm a young football player,
sorry,
if I'm a young football player and I look up to Lionel Messi and you think, well, he didn't win his first. You're talking about the best player in history here. Debate that with your socks or whatever you want to do after this.
My socks.
But we're talking about
take off.
We're talking about the best player in football history. took until he was 34 years of age to win his first international trophy. And we're talking about a 19-year-old, a 21-year-old and a 23-year-old.
Yeah.
There's plenty of time for them to now push forward. And like Tanya said, I can see England winning something in the next couple of tournaments.
I'm going to say it now. Those three will lead us to the World Cup next year.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Big them up. Everyone? Big them up.
Yeah. All right, do you want to do the award quickly?
Fine.
So they gave the player of the tournament to Donnarumma, which is just ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Like,
I know he missed the pen, but it had to be Jorginho. They won and he was their best player. It had to be Jorginho.
Scumbag.
But yeah.
But I'm sorry. On Donnarumma though. So I didn't realise man was 6 foot. How much?
6'5".
Yeah, he's...
Surely that's unfair advantage. That's cheating. That's cheating.
How's that cheating?
He has to get surgery on his knees to get smaller or
something. What?
He's a goalkeeper.
To be fair,
he's bigger than the
Nick
goal.
Nick Pope is injured, but he's about a similar height to...
No,
and to be fair, Peter Crouch jumping for a header...
You weren't saying that when Peter Crouch played for Tottenham,
innit?
That's unfair advantage. Everyone can only reach his kneecaps.
Peter Crouch.
All right, so who are we giving player of the tournament to?
Yeah, I think you got to give it to...
I would have given Sterling, but I thought he did have a great game.
Jorginho.
Just on Sterling real quickly.
I'm not saying
that. That extra time against Denmark, he stood up and put the nation on his back. So shout out to Sterling because he was
big.
I feel like he stepped up in extra time as well. He was the only one who was running with the ball and he created a bit of
specifically against Denmark.
No, I know, but
he went.
Yeah.
Just the whole tournament. He's been our best player this whole tournament.
So we go Jorginho, yeah? Who's
lot go with Jorginho? I'm not involved.
Why? You got an agenda against?
He's a scumbag.
Oh, because he's Brazilian, isn't he?
Oh.
No, I'm talking about what he did to Grealish. I think he should have been sent off.
Yeah, it's true.
It's a foul, isn't it?
I don't care.
I don't really like Jorginho either.
Who's the other person? She said it now after he's a Grealish. Think about it.
Don't hurt my man.
I don't care. He's a scumbag.
Who's your young player of the tournament?
Young player of the tournament.
I think it was the correct one. They gave it to Pedri.
It was Pedri. Yeah.
18 years old and stepped into that Spain midfield like he was a seasoned vet.
That 90 minutes against Italy, he didn't give the ball away once.
He treated big international players like little kids. Like he was playing under-18s football.
He was like Verratti. Take time. I'm going to show you.
And you know what? We better wish him luck because soon it's just going to be him and Messi playing.
Yeah.
There's a massive auction at Barcelona.
So, what was the goal of the tournament?
Last week,
I said it. You said Pogba.
Schick. It's got to be Schick.
I've had a think about this. There's Pogba, Schick. It all seems like a distant memory now, to be completely
honest.
Oh,
I love the Ramsey one as well.
And the Ramsey
Wales.
Goal for Wales,
I said
think.
The De Bruyne
I
like one last week. That was... The but I'm happy to give it to Schick because that was.
It
crazy.
Has to be Schick.
Yeah, it's got to be. Yeah,
I'm half a mile out, man.
I'm still sticking with Pogba, but we'll go with Schick.
How far away it starts from the goal?
Yeah,
and then it just curls in.
Mad.
Hold on, let me just get.
And this is just to fill a little gap. This is Schick against Scotland, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Practically from his own half. Yeah. I think it was ended 2-0,
2-1.
2-0.
Star of the
surprise star, Schick. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
Baller.
Schick, that's your Pavlyuchenko, isn't it?
No. The reason I said...
No. I'm not quality-wise, because I hear what you were saying in terms of bursting onto the scene.
I said Schick is going to be one of those players who gets bought by Tottenham and scores 16 goals in 4 years.
Probably.
Proper Pavlyuchenko vibe.
Couple of round three League Cup goals.
Spurs don't sign strikers.
Yeah.
Well, they'll probably have to sign a couple. All right, so who would you sign? What player who's caught your eye this tournament?
Ooh.
Pedri, yeah.
I'm going to be honest. We don't have to be realistic here. We all knew who Pedri was before the tournament, but I don't think we...
Mbappe.
I don't think we understood the magnitude of just how good he is and how comfortable and easy it is
for him.
He played Spain went to extra time twice in 4 days?
Yeah. Do you hear what she said? Do you know who I like? I forgot his name.
The Belgian player, really
Jack
young.
Grealish.
No. Oh, Daco.
Oh, Doku.
Daco.
I really
Doku.
Like
I
Damsgaard, you know?
Damsgaard. Yeah. I don't know why they took
Damsgaard.
Him off.
Oh, and I don't know Mailer, how to pronounce Mailer, his name. Milo or Mailer.
Yeah.
And game of the tournament.
You said team of the tournament.
Well, I missed that game of the tournament.
Game of the tournament.
I said France-Switzerland.
Yeah, it's got to be that one.
For me, it was the earlier one.
Croatia, Spain.
Spain, yeah.
Nah, I prefer the France one. That's the drama, Rabiot's mum. Come on.
Why
that was even part of the game.
She went onto the pitch and just a little sidestep, banged it top corner.
No.
She came on and yelled at Pavard.
Okay, let me take it back,
Remember when she crossed it?
Do you remember? Do you remember it was like Dyer and Boyer? Yeah. And she tried to fight with Pavard?
Yeah, it was her and Mbappe on the pitch, scrapping.
She missed right. a pen.
Big up Rabiot as well. Yeah. Actually, no, don't big her up.
She missed the pen before Mbappe.
Yeah, and all right, the team of the tournament.
Are we doing fraud of the tournament?
Well, we did that last week, and no, I did fraud 11.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I'll give it to Bruno Fernandes as well.
That's actually fair.
All right, team of the tournament.
Well,
to be fair, do you want to kind go of got to give
it? Yeah, let's. Okay, goalkeeper.
Collect a team.
I was going to say, you can't. I don't think you can't give it to Italy.
Of course.
Let's just give it to Italy, whatever.
I need to go to the toilet,
so let's wrap this up.
All right. Tell the listeners that.
Sorry.
Any other business?
ALBs, you know?
Come on.
Jeez.
No? All right.
I don't want to think about Spurs now.
Oh, actually, you know what? Just very quickly, that is the other business. Sorry, Abdi, you do what you need to do, Abdi. You do
water
what you need to do.
Spring.
Yeah, actually, Liverpool are getting a bit active.
Do you know what the other business is? I'm just saying. Listen in from next week and the following weeks where we start to take a bit more of a focus onto club football again. Abdi is moving.
This is basically assault.
Yeah, Abdi's going ham. No, but in the next couple of weeks, I think we're going to start shifting our focus a little bit more towards club football.
Please.
Why are we all saying, listen, none of our clubs have kicked the ball.
Listen, I know
this
you're smiling because Gomez and Van Dijk is back, right?
And Matip.
And Matip, right? You're signing some other player. I know you're happy, Mark.
No, it's not even that, but we'll have that focus. Obviously, Arsenal have just signed the left back from Benfica.
Who does kiss dogs,
but let's be honest. Tierney doesn't look like he can go a full season fit. We know that from at Arsenal it hasn't happened. So
yes.
I'm saying it's the sensible thing to get.
We're playing two up top apparently with Nuno.
And Doherty staying.
Woo!
So yeah, Doherty, he's going to be moving like teacher's pet out here.
Oh God, he already is.
But yeah, that's
Come
it
on,
from
ben
me
White.
In terms of ALB.
Is that happening?
No, I don't know. But we'll catch you on the next exciting episode of We'll Talk About That Later.
Woo.
Peace out. Sports Social Podcast Network.